In the letter spot this week, we cannot avoid the general election. One letter caught our eye. Ruth Harrison of Aylsham writes of tax rises and public services. Whoever wins the election, it's clear that taxes, including council tax, will have to increase hugely if we're to have anything like the level of public services we need. Over the last years, every last drop of blood has been wrung from all of them. Not only the NHS and social care, it's schools and police, prisons and probation. Necessary services like setting up a power of attorney and getting probate through take months. Whichever public service you look at, its staff are overworked and underpaid. And, as for privatised water boards, power companies, transport, they all seem to be run for large profits, while not delivering much of a service. The housing situation doesn't bear thinking about. It doesn't have to be like this. We could accept a considerably higher basic rate of tax and get the public services we need. And politicians running for office now could stop trying to kid us that they can make things better without tax rises.
And Phil Rimmer of Colkirk encourages all to vote. A number of recent letters have indicated a reluctance to vote in the upcoming general election, and it's obvious that large numbers of people are unhappy with political discourse, and with politicians in particular. The causes are probably numerous, but specific culprits must include social media with its false news and other inappropriate content, including conspiracy theories. A number of national newspapers, one of which openly attempted to undermine the rule of law, describing judges as enemies of the people, and a variety of politicians who, in recent years, have displayed a serious lack of integrity, e.g. contracts for cronies during the pandemic, an attempt to shut down prorogue parliament, and the conduct of the Brexit referendum, where lies were told, spurious statistics were used, and debate became personal and abusive. The carefree, innovative and economically successful country we were told to expect did not materialise, leading to division and to a population uneasy with itself. But despite all this, there is a moral imperative to vote. It isn't a criminal offence not to do so, but let's remember the sacrifices made by previous generations in pursuit of votes for all, and let's not hear from those that don't vote that whoever is given the privilege to govern has no legitimacy due to a low turnout.
Criticism of modern building methods comes from Steve McKinder of Denver, as he muses on the problems caused by the historic use of aerated concrete in public buildings. The revelations surrounding the closure of the iconic ziggurat building on the UEA campus because of the issues with aerated concrete rack adds to the tally of schools, hospitals and other public buildings now facing demolition thanks to this obsession with modern construction techniques. As a nation, we've thrown away literally billions of pounds on buildings made of these crumbling, cheap, rubbish, bolted together concrete modular panels. And it seems nobody is going to carry the can and be held responsible for this unmitigated disaster. As I watch today the hundreds of homes being built so unbelievably quickly on farmland fields around Downham Market, using cheap materials, foam filler, glue, chipboard and plastic membranes and panels, I wonder how long it will also be before these tilly-willy modern construction materials also lose their integrity and go the same way as the rack fiasco and millions of these Lego homes, stapled together with clips and plastic components, beginning to crumble and fail. Will the constructors be held responsible after their much-touted 10-year guarantee has lapsed? Or will these potential looming housing problems end up in no man's land like rack hospital schools and now the ziggurat? and the here today, gone tomorrow builders will have pocketed a fortune and dissolved the businesses. You already know the answer.
Next, Carol Timms of Salhouse, perhaps with her tongue in her cheek, wonders if the poor weather will trigger a cold weather subsidy from the government, similar to the winter subsidy. It's the opinion of many that summer has been cancelled this year. Many of us, particularly the old and infirm, are having to still heat the house because of those low temperatures. Our inbuilt thermostats believe it's still winter, and heating bills are going to be high right up to the end of June, if the forecast is to be believed. We have to acknowledge that this is very unusual. To have to turn the heat on throughout June is not normal. The old Flanders and Swans song of the weather had it right. June just rains and never stops. 30 days and spoils the crops. Might we therefore expect the government to arrange a subsidy in the same way that they gave a cold weather one? We'll be needing it.
Following news of the death of Terry Alcock, Glyn Linder writes about club loyalty and says he was a long-standing legend. I thought it was an excellent tribute to the passing of Norwich City legend Terry Alcock this week. I think that leaves only Jimmy Hill from the famous 1959 Norwich City Cup run team. One point that struck me was the reference to the fact that he played well over 300 matches, stretching over 11 years for the club. What a contrast to the game today. Norwich invariably start each season with a glut of new players, many of whom seek pastures new within a year or two, leaving parents with the task of continually having to buy their children new shirts as their favourites move on. The days of long-standing club loyalty displayed by players like Terry are a rarity nowadays.